This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hi there, this is Mark Lloyd from The Night Shift. Movies, very much a part of our show, of course. And each and every week, William Mullally comes along to talk all things movies. And the latest blockbuster, of course, is the big one from Brad Pitt, Bullet Train. We had a good old chat about that, but we also explored The Grey Man. So do enjoy the podcast and join me live on the show weeknights, 8 through 10, right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Welcome back into the show, and movies is where we're at right now with William Mullally, our movie critic. You might recall that recently he flew over to Paris to interview some of the members of the cast of Bullet Train, including Brad Pitt. Bullet Train, William, opening up next weekend, but you managed to catch up with several members of the cast. So who are we going to chat to this week?
Yeah, so we heard from a little-known actor called Brad Pitt, gave him a nice platform last week. And this week we're starting with, actually, there was news earlier this week that The Grey Man became the number 5 film of all time in Netflix opening.
Really?
It opened just behind this actor's film, Joey King, who is a superstar with the younger set. The Kissing Booth 3 opened ahead of The Grey Man. That is how popular Joey King is. And I think she brings all that gravitas and more to Bullet Train. And we had a lovely sit down in Paris, where we talk not only about, you know, how much this film means to her, but, you know, the ways that she's managing this insane fame that she's had. She's got 20 million followers on Instagram. She's just insanely popular. And I think she's also incredibly, incredibly talented. And every frame of this film that she's in, I think she shows that charisma. And I think it just helps the movie pop even more.
Well, I've never played an assassin before, that's for sure. But just like, I mean, first of all, like, let's point out the obvious here. I'm working with freaking like Brad Pitt and like Michael Shannon and David Leitch, and just like when you are around people of that that you admire that much, I think it just really pushes you to bring your A game, but also makes you like nervous and like excited and giddy. And so when I showed up to set, I was just like, man, like, I think I know how I, like, I think I deserve to be here, but I'm just not sure. Like, I don't know. And then people like Brad just really say like, no, you do. Like, and we're really happy to have you. And it just like eases your calm and makes you just feel so at home and welcome. And just then like, then that challenge of like, do I fit in? Am I going to be okay in this movie? It just kind of dissipates, and you're able to just have fun and play your character and really like just focus on how cool that is.
Well, there we are. The Bullet Train, of course, is the movie that everyone's itching to see. Let's have a listen in on the trailer for this one. Of course, it stars Brad Pitt.
Deer Creek International Business Solutions, how can I help you?
I am ready.
Well, that's great, Ladybug.
Ladybug?
Your new operational name.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Ladybug's supposed to be lucky. Ha.
You don't have bad luck.
Really? My bad luck is biblical. I'm not even trying to kill people and someone dies. Remember the suicidal bellboy?
You drove him to the hospital.
Hang in there, buddy!
And he didn't die.
Okay, the wedding.
Tequila?
Johannesburg. Time for some change.
Do you want it simple for your first job back? It doesn't get simpler.
Well, there's the trailer for Bullet Train. Brad Pitt, that's going to be opening up next week in the city of Dubai. How do you think it's going to fare, William?
I think it's going to fare very well. And, you know, I think a lot of that is down to the connection that these cast members made with each other. They, you know, they were stuck in a soundstage during lockdown.
Yeah.
That they purpose-built, you know, with LED screens showing the train going by. And they just had to lean on each other for support. And, you know, Joey also told me that, you know, Brad was someone who gave her a lot of advice about the ways that he manages things. And it ended up, I think, turning into a really fruitful friendship for the both of them.
I was going through kind of a tough time one day. And I was just like expressing that to some of my sweet castmates, and Brad is someone who has been through a lot in his life and has been just around the block for a long time. Just someone like him with life experience and just obviously experience with people having opinions about his life. It was really helpful to like hear from someone like him about why that noise should be drowned out and how he does it. And it's just, it was really, really nice to talk to someone like that.
No, I think it's, honestly, I think what you guys made together is really special, so.
Me too. I love this movie.
Seriously, me too.
Well, friendships made on sets, especially when it's in lockdown there. It was interesting. I saw some shots of your interviews, and they kind of mocked up the room a bit like the bullet train itself.
Yeah, they did, and I think it shows, you know, how far technology has come. And I think that's part of why they did that for the interviews, because it's really amazing how immersive they can make this, not only for the audience and, you know, getting rid of just standard green screen sets, but also for the actors, because they're basically living on these sets now. I actually, just between you and me and the million people listening right now, got a sneak preview of the new Game of Thrones show, House of the Dragon. And a lot of that was filmed with the same sort of stagecraft, as they call it, these screens everywhere. So no longer are they in the middle of nowhere. They're just building these sets to look with, you know, new technology, so that they feel like they're really there as much as we do watching it. And it's really, really amazing. And I think it's making the film even better, because we're getting past this green screen era.
So that's The Bullet Train, which I'm sure is going to go down really, really well. But something else we want to talk about as well, William, is Sandman. What do we know about this series?
So Sandman is based on the beloved comic book series that was written by Neil Gaiman back in the 80s and 90s. And personally speaking, it's one of the comics that had the most profound effect on me. It's this really fantastic, sprawling, mythical story about these seven endless ones. You know, the concepts of death, dream, desire, destruction are actually seven anthropomorphic creatures who have existed since the dawn of time, who govern those things and exist with us in the normal world. And through that in comes, you know, creatures from mythology, and in comes, you know, creatures from comic book stories, and just normal people and the way that they interact with these concepts. And the first season, which was, you know, created by Alan Heinberg, who's, you know, a very tenured television writer and comic book writer, and Neil Gaiman himself, who also did books like Coraline and American Gods and the Graveyard book. He's really a tremendous, tremendous talent. And really, I think they captured what makes the comic so special. They made it really feel like what the comic gives across. And I think a lot of that is due to trying to make it the comic, you know?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They didn't want to reinvent the wheel. They wanted to do something that was true to the vision of what they always set out to tell. And I think having read the comic at different points in my life, watching it again not only did feel like a new and interesting experience, but it really invoked those same feelings that the original series brought out in me. Like, there was one episode which really made me cry in a way that the actual comic never did. And so I think it's a really tremendous adaptation, especially once you get into it. And I think, you know, for Neil Gaiman and for Alan Heinberg, they really just wanted to be true to the masterpiece that Sandman has always been.
Is what united us from the beginning. I had a vision for a way that you could do Sandman on television that involved making it Sandman. There was no point in making it any less than the thing that we'd already made. There was no point in getting back and making it worse. I'd spent 30 years protecting the world from adaptations of Sandman that would have just been painful, awful, and terrible things. When I met Alan, David Goyer put the two of us together, and we talked about the show. And then Alan and David came up to my place in Woodstock, and we spent 3 days talking about the show. And it was obvious that we were all talking about the same show, that the thing that we wanted to make, which I feel like we had made, was going, what is television? What is episodic television? What do we gain? How can we rethread some of the story in ways that will work for television? How can we take things that I would have loved to have done when I was doing the comics, but I only had 24 pages and I only had 6 panels a page?
Here's a trailer then for Sandman.
Your waking world is shaped by dreams. Dreams and nightmares that I create, and which I must control.
He's out there looking for me, isn't he?
Can you imagine the damage he could do?
I need your help. If dreams disappear, then so will humanity.
I could do without dreams for a while. I haven't had a decent night's sleep in ages.
The trailer there for Sandman. I've got to ask you, William, do you still have those comics that you used to pore over as a kid, those Sandman comics?
I've bought it 5 times at least. Like, every time they release a new edition, I'm like, you know, that's got a pretty cover. I think I'm going to buy it again.
Yeah, I need that in the collection.
I gotta have it. I'm honestly going to go this weekend to buy another copy of one of the books just because I misplaced one. It's just an excuse. I just want to buy it again.
Right. Okay, we're going to come back with more with William Mullally talking all things movies and comics.
This is The Night Shift with Mark Lloyd.
On Dubai Eye 103.8, the UAE's number one talk radio station.
William Mullally is once again with us talking all about the movie Sandman. Very excited about, of course, that series there. And also a Bullet Train. Now, The Grey Man doing amazing things at the moment. And apparently Netflix has come out and said that they've got grand plans to turn The Grey Man into a real, you know, big franchise. So what do you make of that?
Well, that's the thing. Like, this book was always, you know, a beginning of something, you know?
Yeah.
It originally came out in the late 2000s, but it was building this whole world of this, you know, secret CIA program of these people who were off the books, were off the grid. They were ex-soldiers, or ex-convicts, I should say, who were pulled into this program to do things that no one else could, and no one would ever find out about it. Which I think is an interesting enough concept so that there is a lot to explore. So not only do they have a lot of source material to work with, and the ways that, you know, this character played by Ryan Gosling in the film develops, but also just in the fun that could potentially, and the insane, you know, action set pieces that basic plot could pull out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, having Ryan Gosling signed on for potential sequels, and having the Russo brothers potentially back as well, I think really shows that, you know, what really works right now is big action and big stars, and that's what's going to make people click on something, whether it's in the cinema or whether it's at home. It's a tried and tested formula, and there's a reason for that. And while I don't think everyone is responding to the film the way that maybe Netflix hopes, I do think that it's a film that probably has a lot more fans than people realize. And, you know, I think personally, it might not have this, you know, grand developed story with a lot of character, but it was never supposed to. It was always intended to be this simple but extremely propulsive story full of action that was nonstop from start to finish. And because of that, you sacrifice the story. I think, like, the Russo brothers knew what they were doing. They nailed it. I think Gosling is perfect. And when I spoke to the Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe, recently, my question was, would you even come back to a sequel, or are you going to pass this off to someone else? Because since they left the Avengers franchise, they've been trying so many different things, but they did tell me that they do want to come back. And so I do think that we're going to get Grey Man sequels and Grey Man spin-offs that are equally as grand in the Russo brothers fashion as this one was.
Here's the trailer.
What do you know about the Sierra program?
Reckless mystery men you guys send in when you can't officially send anyone else.
The Grey Man.
Lloyd, I got an urgent locate and destroy.
That could be fun. The man's got some street cred.
You hurt?
I mean, my ego's a little bruised.
And have something they really want.
What's your gut?
It's gonna be my funeral you're going to next.
You wanna make an omelet? You gotta kill some people.
You must be Lloyd.
What gave it away?
The trash stash. It leans Lloyd.
Well, there's a trailer for The Grey Man, and certainly big plans for that on Netflix. Now, also, I just finally want to run this by you. Dwayne Johnson recently made quite an entrance at Comic-Con as the DC superhero Black Adam when he went to Comic-Con's Hall H. Looking forward to this film, you know, with one of your favourite WWE superstars acting again.
And one of my, you know, closest personal friends. Well, I say that. We've tweeted back and forth maybe 5 times.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to consider him he's going to be the best man at my wedding. He just doesn't know it yet. but I do think that this is not only a movie that is close to his heart, and when he pours his heart into something, it shows. It's also a film that I think has an interesting resonance in the region. You know, Black Adam is a character who's rooted in Egyptian mythology, and there is a strong Arab cast here. You know, our friend Mo Amer, a Palestinian comedian, has a big role in this. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see what we can do here in the Middle East, and whether or not we can get some of those big stars over here. And maybe we can even convince, you know, Dwayne himself to come over to Dubai to talk about what makes this movie so special. Because honestly, I do think that of all of his films that he's doing, even though he's got DC Super Pets coming up this weekend, I'm a bit more excited for Black Adam. I think there's some movies that those good things for him and for the DC franchise.
Yeah, DC League of Super Pets. I'm sure you're going to be rushing to see that one, William. Let's just quickly hear the trailer for it.
Wake up, buddy. It is 1 o'clock.
Maybe I should let him sleep. Okay. Jump around!
And I'm up.
Okay, Crypto. We'll go for a walk.
I have an owner, and he's Superman.
Let me just iron that out. You should call me Iron Man. No. My dog's the best, but he's not the greatest with other animals.
What is new with you, fellow normal dog?
I bit the FedEx guy the other day.
Who was he working for? General Zod? The Legion of Doom?
FedEx.
Of course. The Federation of X's. Not to be trusted.
What is taking my owner so long?
Well, that's the one that's going to be filling out the cinemas, William, with families this weekend. DC League of Super Pets.
Yeah, and actually it's coming out in both English and an Arabic dub. And they've got an all-star Arab cast.
Yep.
They've done it properly. I've seen that one too, and I think because of the wonders of technology, the voices match perfectly. It doesn't feel like a dub. It's really its own film. And they brought in the content creator, influencer, and you know, Egyptian comedian Mohamed Tarek to play Aquaman, who is just the funniest guy. I love Mohamed Tarek. And we had a great chat about, you know, what it means to take on this character and, you know, how surprising it was for him to not only get this call, but to be able to play this legendary superhero.
Of course, I've always been like a DC fan. I've always I love comics. I love like superheroes, right? And seeing the ups and downs that, you know, Aquaman had, it just made me feel like I'm one of the down parts that he is having, right? But like, it's a good down, you know what I'm saying? But like, I'm really excited. Like, I mean, it's really fun to introduce him into the like Arab world, right? That way, in a very comedic relief kind of way, you know what I'm saying?
So there we are, one of the cast of the big movie this week for families, DC League of Super Pets. William, as always, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we'll catch you in another week.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.